You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, think about our lives for a moment. We have so many options, don't we? All kinds of things we can pick and choose. Way too many things that we can do all of them. So some things we grab a hold of, other things we simply have to let go. Once we have what we have grabbed a hold of, sometimes we have to put things in an order of priority, an order of importance, even like I did with the kids a little bit earlier today. I'm inviting you as we go through today's gospel reading to think about the four things that are identified there. So we have Jesus healing the sick, Jesus casting out demons, Jesus praying, Jesus preaching. So which one is the most important of the four? Not so easy, maybe a little bit like me saying to the kids, which is more important, the Bible or Jesus? Both very important, so not so easy to tell. A little bit of a challenge here too. Keep that in the back of your mind as we go through the reading today. Before we get back into the reading itself, keep in mind that last week's gospel reading was just before this one, so I want to clarify a little bit of what I talked about last week. So as we harmonize what we have in Matthew and what we have in Mark on this same account, we conclude that when Jesus taught and when he cast out the demon, as we focused on last week, he did that in the synagogue. He was in Capernaum, and it was on Saturday afternoon. You might remember last week we said it could have been later Friday evening, it could have been Saturday, but looking at both of them together, we know very clearly it had to be Saturday afternoon. And then the text picks right up at that point because it says today, and immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So Simon and Andrew, they were brothers, and they owned a house together. Then living also in the house was Peter's wife and also Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter was married, even though some people are shocked to hear that, but he was. Looking at that situation, apparently Peter and Andrew had invited Jesus to come to their house for dinner. And then we see that James and John also came along, so apparently they were also invited. So they're in the synagogue, they leave the synagogue, and go right to the house for dinner. But then the Bible says, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. In other words, Jesus didn't even know about her being ill until he got to the house. So he didn't go there in order to heal her. He went there to eat a meal. Going on in the text, it says that Jesus came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So as soon as Jesus found out, he took action. But what was her situation, though? She had a fever, according to Mark. But in Luke, he mentions that she had a high fever. So thank God we don't get that very often. I can't think now when the last time was I had what I might call a high fever. When you get up to like 102, 103, 104, it's a really miserable situation. But Luke notes, though, that the mother-in-law had a high fever. But what did Jesus do, though? Did he act like a doctor? Did he go in and diagnose her situation and prescribe something to eat this, drink this, do that? He didn't. He acted like the very Son of God. So he went in, he took her by the hand, and just like that, she was healed. So again, he was showing himself to be the very Son of God. How do we know she was healed? Because the Bible says that immediately she began to serve them. You can kind of imagine that Peter's wife was doing all the preparation because her mother was very ill, but as soon as she was better, she gets up and she helps out her daughter and they make a nice meal. In the second part here, we see Jesus heal many sick people and also help many who are demon-possessed. Going on to verse 32 of Mark chapter 1, it says, that evening at sundown. So keep in mind, we're on Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath, but at sundown is when the Sabbath ended. So that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. It says there in the ESV, all who were oppressed by demons. If someone is oppressed by a demon, that means he is troubled by a demon. Literally in the Greek, it says the people were demon-possessed, so they weren't just troubled by demons, they were being controlled by demons, very much like the man that we encountered last week. So it says they brought to him all who were sick or demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Lenski has this note. He wrote, since the Sabbath had passed, in other words, they had come to Saturday evening at sunset, since the Sabbath had passed, the work of bringing all these sufferers to Jesus could be performed without violating the law of Sabbath rest. So you might wonder, why did they gather then? But they had to wait until the sun went down. Now they were able to resume their work. Now they could bring all these people to the house of Peter. Why were they doing that? They had heard what Jesus had done in the synagogue, and they knew people that were in need of either physical healing or having demons cast out. So they were excited that they had such a person there who could help them, and they brought all the people who were in need. We know that from that time, Capernaum had a population of about 1,500 people, and it says in the Bible, the whole city gathered at the door. Can you imagine hearing a little bit of ruckus out in front of your house, and you look out the window, and you have 1,500 people gathered there wanting help from you? Imagine if you were very sick. Imagine if you knew someone who was demon-possessed, and you started to approach the house of Peter, and you saw the massive crowd. Would you say, oh, it's not worth it. We're not going to fight the crowd. Let's just go back home. By no means. This is an opportunity to become healed immediately. This is an opportunity to get that demon out. You're going to stand there in line. You're going to do whatever you have to do. You're going to get the help. That's what was going on at that time. And then it goes on in verse 34 and says, Jesus healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. So it talked about healing many, casting out many demons. So it kind of gives the impression, oh, he did so with a lot of people, but not with all of the people. Sometimes in the Bible, the word many is actually referring to all, and we find out that's the case here. For example, if we go over to the Gospel of Matthew, with this same account, Matthew records that Jesus healed all who were sick, and then Luke records that Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So it was a very individualized thing. He didn't simply say, massive people, be healed. It wasn't like that. Rather, he went up to each one, he touched them, and he healed them. A very personal thing. A little bit like us receiving the Lord's Supper. So Jesus is coming to us and saying, here is my body that I gave. Here is my blood that I shed. Know that through my work, your sins are forgiven. In a very personal, individual way. Also regarding the demons being expelled, Lenski noted that all those that came into Jesus' presence with a demon, they were all expelled. Going further in the text, we come to the topic now of prayer and also a little bit later of preaching. Picking up in verse 35, it says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So he is the Son of God. He's praying. In other words, he's talking to God, his Father in heaven. And we know from the Bible that Jesus did that on various important occasions in his life. For example, in Luke chapter 6, it records that all night Jesus continued in prayer to God just before he chose his 12 apostles. So it's good to accompany prayer with something very important. Even Martin Luther had the practice of spending 2 hours in Bible time and prayer each morning, but we know from history that Luther, on his most difficult days, on his most busy days, he would actually spend 4 hours in the morning in Bible time and prayer. Why did he do that? He knew it was such an important thing, such a powerful thing, that would carry him through the difficulties, that would carry him through the busyness of the day. It doesn't make sense in a way, but God wants us to know it works. It's a real, true, powerful thing. So knowing that prayer is important, knowing that it is powerful, let us take advantage of such a thing. And let us also do so not as a last resort, but as a first resort. Do you remember the story I told years ago where they had the ferry boat crossing the English Channel, and they would have two boats crossing at the same time, and it was a foggy evening, and the one boat lost its engine. It stopped running. And they're frantically trying to get it going because now the boat is drifting. Now the other boat coming the other way could run into that boat because it was foggy and so on. And they're trying to do everything they can. And finally, the first mate comes to the captain and he says, "Should we pray?" And the captain said to him, "Has it come to that?" In other words, are you sure we've tried everything else first? It's utter foolishness, isn't it? But I can be that way sometimes too, and maybe you can be so as well. God wants us to know it's such a wonderful, powerful thing. Let's use it as a first resort instead of as a last resort. Going on in the text, we go to verse 36, and it says, Simon and those who were with him. Who was with him? Probably Andrew, James, and John. Not quite sure, but those are the four men that we encountered last week. So Simon and those who were with him searched for Jesus, and they found him, and they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." If you look in the Greek text there, when it says they searched for him, it's a very strong searching. They pursued him closely, even hunted for Jesus. So it was a very urgent thing on their minds, and they looked and looked and looked until they found him. Think about this series of events as to why this happened. So the whole city on Saturday evening was gathered outside of Peter's door. The people were all healed. The demons were cast out. The people went home for the night. And then Jesus stayed overnight there at the home of Peter and Andrew. And then very early in the morning, he got up, he went out to a desolate place, and he's praying. But what apparently happened, though, would be those people who had received those blessings from Jesus, they showed up again at Peter's house very early in the morning, and they're wanting more of Jesus. They're wanting more blessings. They're wanting to hear more of what he has to say. So they were somewhat demanding that Jesus would come to them. So Peter and the others, they go and find him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Everyone is looking for you." The implication was, these people have showed up, and you've got to come back right away, and you've got to give them what they want. That was the implication. What is Jesus to do? Well, Jesus is the model of someone who was proactive. It's better to be proactive than reactive. So, of course, Jesus being God, he knew he would face this dilemma. So what has he been doing prior to Peter showing up? He's been in prayer. And he had the answer even before Peter asked the question. Jesus said to them, "Let us go on to the next or neighboring towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So in a sense, Jesus was saying to Peter, "Hey, wait a minute now. Some of those people were gathered in the synagogue and they heard me teach. Many of them received healing from me or demons cast out. So they've gotten a good portion of me. I need to leave now. We need to go on to other towns so those people can hear and receive the blessings as well. So Jesus looked at it in a very practical way. So we come to the conclusion now. So I ask you again, which activity do you think is most important? Is it healing, casting, praying, or preaching? Healing, casting, praying, or preaching? Which one? You don't have to tell me, but keep in mind as I conclude here. So when we are sick, healing is a wonderful thing, but the benefits of it are temporal, only for this temporal life. For the demon-possessed, Jesus casting out the demon was such a powerful, wonderful thing, but just because the demon was cast out, that did not automatically save that person's soul. We have the account in the Bible where there was one man where Jesus cast out the demon. The problem is the person did not receive Jesus Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit did not enter in, and that same demon came back and found the person unoccupied, like an empty house, and came back into the person and brought, I think, 7 other demons with him. So it's important that when the house is empty, that then the Holy Spirit is received. So to cast out the demon, an important thing, but that's not the end of the story. What about prayer? Prayer is an important, powerful thing. We should pray to God in all kinds of situations, about all kinds of things. But let's know, though, that prayer does not save us. Prayer does not save others. Prayer is something we do to God. That's why it cannot save. Saving has to come from God to us. So it's important, but it cannot save. So preaching, if you had that answer, preaching is the most important. Why is that the most important? Because in preaching, God is at work by his Spirit through that word of God in order to show people their sins, to make them sorry, and to give them faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of those sins. In other words, by God doing that work, he is saving them. He is making them his very own. So that is most important. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, since life in this 21st century is so complicated, we pray that you would show us what is most important, and then we pray that you would move us to make such things, those most important things, move us to make them our top priorities now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule. Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.